All right, let's go ahead and jump into our study book. And we'll be on page number 51 there. And we just introduced this last week. So we're going to spend a little bit of time in this book, and then we're going to jump into Revelation chapter 4. And so it was already established that we're going to use the book of Revelation as a tool to help take these things we're learning here in our study. And then we'll go into the book of Revelation, and we'll try to utilize those tools there in that study. So on page number 51 of your book, and I do not have those yet, so if anybody needs a book, I'm going to be getting some of those. Just let me know. If you've already been given a book, great. If you don't have one, but we're giving one and lost that, we'd ask that you help recoup the cost for that. These aren't real cheap, so. But we want you to have one, amen. I want you to use the study tool, and so that's great. All right, so you must know why you need to study the Bible. So I underlined on that, why study? Why should we be interested in studying the Bible? I was just talking to someone this week who is making a very, very big decision. And this is what the person said. I said, well, how are you making this decision? And they said this, well, I'm praying about it. Let me ask you a question, is prayer good? Is prayer alone, is that wise? Just prayer. Just praying about things. No. Why not? Kyle? He does. And what does the word actually do? It says in Hebrews 4. Well, the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder in soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a what? Discerner of the thoughts and intents, motive of the heart. So when we just pray about things, can we just be honest? When we just pray about things, we skew it by our own thoughts and intents. Do you realize that we all have a way that we want things to work out? But the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If all we do is pray, that's all we have. We're skewing it by our own thoughts and intents. We're skewing it based on how we want it to work out. The only way that, there's a couple ways, but the best way to have ourselves challenged is we take our thoughts, we take what we're thinking, and we go to the Word of God. Literally, that is foreign to most people. Right? That's dangerous. You will find yourself making a lot of bad decisions if all you do is pray about stuff. I prayed about it and I got peace. There is a false peace. There is a fault. I felt good about this decision. Really, do you feel good about it now, a year removed? Probably not. You see what I'm saying? So we have to seek God's word. We have to seek God's word because let me ask you this. Do you trust you to make decisions for you? Let's be honest. Most people make decisions and they'll say something like this. I don't see anything wrong with it. If that is a phrase you use, you're in trouble. Because it doesn't matter if we see anything right or wrong with it. There's a lot of things that God has me to do that I'm a little uncomfortable with. Anybody here ever gone soul winning and while you're knocking on a door, you're nervous as can be and you're thinking, man, I don't want to be here. I remember when I first started going out and all that, man, I'd be going, Lord, I pray they don't answer the door. I'm just being real. Because I'm like, I know I've been learning all these verses and all that, but I'm scared. I'm afraid of their face, amen. And so I'm just sitting there going, man, that's where you knock real light. Man, nobody answered. Oh, well, right? There's a doorbell. No, we're knocking. I mean, and so, again, we just need to be careful because does God want us to be soul winning?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So God has us do some uncomfortable things. And so if, by the way, has anybody ever been in a relationship that's gone awry and you were at fault and you had to go apologize to somebody? Does anybody like that? Does anybody like that when you're in that mode where, man, I was such an idiot. I did wrong. I got to go make things right. Does anybody like that? Anybody like it? That you love to do that? No, but you've done it, right? Why'd you do it? Why? How do we know it was right? What did he tell us? He told us in the Bible. That's right. And a lot of people have this mentality. Well, I might have done wrong, but they did wrong too. And until they get right with me, I ain't going to do anything. Right? Now, that was not an impersonation of Patricia. Amen. I saw her back there. That was not. Amen. Now, you might have saw yourself in that. Amen. But that's how we, now, why would we feel that way as a person without including that? Why would we feel that way? Because at the core, we are selfish. We are all about us. We do what we want to do. We do what feels good. We're constantly seeking what benefits us. Now, is that what the Bible says we should do? No. The Bible says two things hang all the law and the prophets. What is it? First, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. That's right. And so that's what's supposed to guide us. But is that where we're at the core? No. So if all I'm doing is praying about it, by the way, praying is prosuchi, it's with my mind, right? I'm working through things in my mind. That's what prayer is. I'm communicating in my mind to God. And in general, in a spiritual sense, I'm working through it, right? Prosuchi, praying. If that's all I do, and I trust me in that, I'm going to make a lot of bad decisions. I'm going to be miserable in life because I'm going to do everything that I think is good for me. And it just doesn't end well, right? So when I say to people, one of the first things I do when I'm talking to people is I say, so where in the Bible did God take you to help challenge you on this? Oh, I didn't look in the Bible. You're fixing to make a decision and you haven't like studied the scripture on it? Yeah, like searched it out? What? You trust you? Not very smart. Amen. Secondly, we seek wise counsel, right? So who's wise counsel? It's not in the world, right? Now, if there's somebody in the world that happens to be an authority over you, you need to include them, right? A child, I would always say, seek your parents' counsel even if they're lost, right? Because God has given that parent some wisdom to raise you. But beyond that, once you're an adult, we're not going to go ask the world what they think. Unless you're trying to find a worldly answer, right? In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So we seek, we should seek people that don't always agree with us. And listen to them. Listen to their reasons. And see if they quote you Bible. If you take all your counselors, take all 5, 10, 20 of them, and when they give you counsel, if they gave you counsel and didn't have any scriptural backing, just go ahead and get rid of them. If you want to make biblical decisions. And then whittle it down and say, what about the ones that did have biblical counsel? What did they have to say? That's how we start. Why? Because we don't trust us. I don't trust me making these decisions, right? And you shouldn't trust you. And so why study the Bible? Why study? Well, because we don't trust ourselves. That's why. Because the Bible is the means by which our thoughts and intents are discerned. So get this. Let me ask you this question. Amongst all, let's just say, truly saved Christendom, right? Of all those that we believe are truly saved, not just that say they're a Christian, not just that, you know, go to a church, whatever. But those, of all those that you believe that are 100% born again, of that number, how many do you think are apt at or able to properly study their Bible? 1%?
1%.
It might be right. You might be right. Do you think that's a problem? It's a problem because that's the means by which we can know God's will. And without that, we can't. Would you agree with me that if you don't study your Bible, would you agree with me that you cannot know God's will? There's no way, right? You cannot make good decisions. You cannot go down a path that is according to God's will because the Bible is God's will. And nobody just happens to know God's will without studying it. Nobody just happens to know Scripture without studying it. Yes. To help others. That's right. That's right. And maybe giving them a push in the wrong direction, right? Because that's right. That's why I say be very careful that when you give advice, make sure you give scriptural advice, because you can't just give your opinion, right? Everybody has an opinion. You need to give them Bible. Yes?
One thing that I have to follow up, God doesn't want you to be offended.
Right.
And I did get counsel from a Christian friend, and I got offended, a worker. And the answer was love them and pray to be blessed. Pray them to be blessed. So it's hard when you're upset and you get to thinking, it's not about me. We're supposed to be focused on God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If someone came to you and said, I've been offended, this is what happened, what should I do? What would you tell them? Give me a verse. Yes.
I love that verse. Great.
Love thy law, love the word of God, and nothing shall offend them. That's a great verse. So based on that verse, what would we tell them? Yes.
You can study your Bible, and you need to work on a relationship with the Lord, because if you were easily offended by that, it means that there's something lacking spiritually.
In you.
That's right. That's great. That's good counsel right there, Hannah. Awesome. That's awesome. That's scripturally based. You're telling someone, by the way, no one wants to hear, I have an issue to work on before I can fix this thing, right? It's on me. But that's scriptural, right? Anybody else have anything that you might do, might give? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The basis, that's in Ephesians 4, the basis for all forgiveness is the fact that Jesus forgave you. Did we deserve it? No. Was I wrong? Had I offended Christ? Yeah, I've sinned against him. While I was a sinner, what did he do for me? He died for me. Right? That's Romans 5. So while I was in that offense, he died for me. He provided a way for my issue to be helped. And that's the basis of forgiveness. That's the basis. That's why we cannot be offended. When we get offended or offend somebody, that creates a wall there. And God has not called us to create walls with people, right? He's called us to communicate truth with them. And if I allow a wall to be built up, then no communication can happen. So again, this is why we must know the truth. If you don't know verses like that, then all you have now is life experience. All you have is, you know, what sounds good to you and all that. But like Kyle said, you don't know if that's good advice or not. And at the end of the day, are you okay leading somebody astray? I would rather be out of the picture than to lead someone astray. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that person. I'd rather be gone than to be the one that's leading people down a wrong path. Does that make sense? And so that's why we study. That's why we study. What motivated me to study initially after I got saved was I realized I was raised Catholic. I knew nothing concerning the Bible. Nothing. My wife was raised in this church. And so she knew a few things, right? The reason I started studying was I thought there is no way I am ever going to be able to lead her spiritually. That's why I started studying. So I started jumping in, studying. And wow, this is where it's brought me. And so it's just that was what motivated me, because I knew that I had a responsibility now. I saw how my dad did it, and I didn't want to follow that example. And so I knew I needed help. And then as kids started coming in the picture and all that, how am I going to be a dad? All of that. That's why I started studying the Bible. Amen. And I don't know why, what will get you. Hopefully you're already interested. You're doing it. I don't know what it was that did, but there'll be something, right, that motivates you to study. And there has to be that. Amen. And so very interesting. So why study? So on our page here, we'll take about another 4 minutes here, then we'll jump into Revelation. On our page, it gives us a number of things here. At the bottom of page number 51, it says this, second paragraph, if you don't set aside time to study the Bible as a serious priority, he says you're an idolater and your whole life is out of order. Now, the reason he says you're an idolater is that you're exalting something else except God's word in this area of making decisions, and probably it would be yourself, right? Most people rely on self to make decisions. Some people might say it's science. Some people might say it's their training in school, different things like that. But ultimately, even those things should not be at the top. What should be at the top is what? The Word of God, right? And by the way, a proper understanding of it. Is it possible to incorrectly interpret the Word of God? Okay, so what's our protection there? You could study with others. That's excellent, because they're going to see different sides, right? Right? So the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth, right? So if we want the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth, how do we maintain that? Yes. That can, but is there a way that I can keep the Holy Spirit from leading me in truth? Yes. How is it? Yes. That's right. Because if I have sin in my life, what have I done? I've quenched the work, open sin, not just general sin. I mean specific sin. God is dealing with me on this, and I've turned him off, right? If I do that, I've quenched the working of the Spirit in my life. Is that right? Okay, if I quench the Spirit, that's like a flame. A flame is burning, and when a flame is burning, it provides what? Light and heat, right? But if I quench the Spirit, what goes out? The light. And if you don't have light to illumine the Word, then you don't understand it, right? So if I have known sin, this is not, again, not general, but if I have, I know we're all sinners, I get it, but there are specific things that God brings to our attention, right, that we need to repent of and get right. Okay, if we don't do that, remember, if we come with the gift of the altar and we remember there's ought, we leave the gift of the altar, we go make that thing right, we come back. That's the whole principle there, is that we need the Holy Spirit involved in these things. So I can study the Bible, but if the Holy Spirit is not the one illuminating, then who is? Could be the devil. We have three enemies. What are our three enemies? The flesh, Satan, and the world. Right? Those are our three enemies that God has given us. Okay. Will the flesh ever give us good advice? No. Will Satan ever give us good advice? No. Will the world ever give us good advice? Love not the world, 1 John 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. So we're not going to get good advice there. So not only do I need to study the Bible, I need to have a good relationship. I need to walk in the Spirit and not make provision for the flesh. That's another verse. To fulfill the lust thereof. So, what do we call a person who knows a lot of Bible, but is walking in the flesh and out of tune or has quenched the Spirit? What do we call them? Call them self-righteous. Because their righteousness, they would say, is derived from the Bible, but it's a self-righteousness because it's not Holy Spirit wrought. If it's Holy Spirit wrought, there's a humility. Does that make sense? That's James 4. James 4 talks about how God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And so if in our study, we're like, man, we're really something because we got all this Bible knowledge. Well, that's pride, right? It's not Holy Spirit wrought. It's probably either just man-taught, self-taught, but it's not Holy Spirit wrought. Does that make sense? So we need to learn how to study our Bible in the Spirit. Remember, because God has God ever given us the responsibility to interpret the Bible for ourselves? Not at all. But the world and religion believes he has. And they'll say something like this, well, that's how you see it. That's how you see it. Yes?
That's one of the reasons we assemble together to study together.
Right.
Because everyone gets something else out of the Word.
Okay, watch this. Okay, I love that, Nancy. So we're in a group studying, and we don't all agree. What's the problem? Two things might be happening. One might be that we're just seeing different perspectives of the same thing, and it all really does agree. We're just not there yet, and we're going to work through it. The Holy Spirit's going to bring us to that point. Or what it could be is that not everybody in that group is being led by the Spirit of God, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and there is unity, right? Ephesians 4 talks about unity, that we endeavor for the unity of the Spirit. Spirit, and that creates a bond of peace. Does that make sense? It's just all Bible today, amen. And so this is how it works. So you're studying and you're not in agreement. That, by the way, that's why as a church, we hold to 100% agreement on major decisions for our church to go forward on something. 100% agreement on the members present, so that we do not make a wrong decision. Does that make sense? Because if we're a spiritual body and we're out of unity, then we need to wait and we need to study and we need to work together until we are in unity before we go forward. Does that make sense? You should not, I should not, we as a church should not make decisions when there's not spiritual unity. Because when there's not spiritual unity, then we can't be sure. Does that make sense? It's okay to wait. What's the Bible call that?
Patience.
Be patient. I'm tired of being patient. You're in trouble. Does that make sense? Okay. So, man, we didn't get very far today. But so on the outline there, why study? Number one, to be saved. Number two, to know God. Number three, to understand every important thing in life. And we'll jump back in that next week and look at page number 52 and start looking at some of those in reference to why study. Studying becomes very, very important. Look over at Revelation 4 very quickly. Give you something here for the last 5 minutes we have. We can get started on Revelation 4 and putting some of these things in place that we're learning here. Revelation chapter number 4. We have come a long way. At least y'all have, in Revelation chapter 1 through 3. We understand some things from that. I'm not going to go back and recap that, but let's just go ahead and jump into Revelation chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 and 2, going to give you a couple thoughts on this. You can work through some things this week, and we'll come back together next week, and we'll talk about it more intently and study something that I think would be a help to all of us. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Now, we look at passages like this. There is a lot here. When I look at this, number one, I think of the setting. It was John on the island of Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, had a voice behind him talking, and we know that voice, which we believe to be the Lord, began to give him some revelation, which is what we had there in the first three chapters. Chapter 1 established who Christ was. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Christ that he gave to John. And then in chapters 2 and 3, we went through, and I gave you last week a sheet which showed the seven churches, and then there's a lot that's there, messages to those seven churches, but there's also, in a sense, kind of a timeline for the age which we would know to be the church age. If we look at it like that, and I think that's pretty solid as far as study is concerned. And we understood that we're in that Laodicean age today, which would be the final age of that age, meaning that something is coming next. Did you see any word in this paragraph that talked about the fact that what's just happened here is going to kind of like end something and then begin something? Do we see anything there like that? A word? Hereafter. Excellent, excellent. Yes, and so you can highlight that word in that text. At the end of verse number 1, it says, "I will show thee things which must be hereafter," meaning they're coming after what was just given, right? It's not right now, but it's coming. Do you see that? And so in this text, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." A door opened in heaven. Hallelujah. This is like I get off the island free card, amen? And so a door was opened, amen, that he was, I believe, able to go in and through and see these events. And so we see that. It says, "The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me." So we know that would be that voice of the Lord, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And it says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Now, Paul said at one point, he said he was taken up to see some things, and he said this, "Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell." So we don't know exactly, physiologically speaking, what's taking place here. But we do know that the Lord has taken him up, at least spiritually. By the way, there's another prominent figure in the scriptures that was also taken somewhere in the spirit. His name's Ezekiel. And it's while they were in captivity, he was actually picked up from the earth by a lock of a hair of his head, amen. And he was transported all the way over to the temple from Babylon, all the way over to Jerusalem, so that he could see some things that were happening in the temple behind closed doors. And so that is a very interesting thing as well. So we do have cross-reference in reference to that here, but that word hereafter is very important. And then verse number 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven." And so the focus now is going to turn to that throne in chapters 4 and 5, right? And who's going to be on that throne? That'll be Jesus Christ, and that's going to be the focus. So in this text, it doesn't say it directly, but we do see a change here taking place. Something has been going on. This will be hereafter. And what many people, I included, would say about this text is, this seems to coincide with what we've known to become called the rapture. Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Harpizo would be the word behind it. It's a plucking off. But we'll talk about that more intently. So what we'll do next week is I have a running list of why I would hold to a pre-tribulational rapture. And this is one of them, because in timeline here, after chapter 3, 2 and 3, really 1 through 3 deals with church, the church age directly. Chapters 4 through 19, there's not even a mention of church in that whole section of Scripture. And so chapter 4, though, starts off with a door was open, plucked off, if you will, right? Come up hither. And so we have that, and we're going to look at that and look at some reasons why it seems like in this text, this coincides before the tribulation, what would be the rapture of the saints. And so I would say do your own study, bring your own information. We'll talk about that next week, and we'll see where we land. Bring scripture, though. Amen. If you're gonna bring some stuff, bring some scripture, and we'll talk through it, because this is a huge issue for us today in our Bible study and in our understanding of end times events. All right, let's go and pray.